It's time for Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, this weekend show is going to focus on the nonprofit group Resiliency Village and its efforts to help those in the community dealing with impacts like trauma and the unsheltered. Mark Dykin, the executive director of Resiliency Village, is joining us, as well as Shelley Munoz, who is the board secretary and an executive team member. I thank you both for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having us, BJ.
Yes, thank you so much. We love coming in.
Yeah, it's great to have you in studio. I was looking back in the archive. It was about a year ago, Mark Dykin, we had you on Motherload Views talking about Resiliency Village. At that time, you had just purchased property in the Big Hill area for the organization and its efforts. So I'm curious what's been happening over the past year as well. But before we get into that, for anyone unfamiliar, can you tell us about the history of Resiliency Village and kind of the goals that were laid out when it was started?
Sure. Great question and a good place to start. So about 4 years ago, Shelley, myself, and Brenda Chapman, who is our board president, were talking about possible solutions to homelessness with a trauma-informed lens. Brenda and I worked together at Jamestown School District, where she was the superintendent and I was the director of the Family Resource Center. And through her direction, I really started exploring trauma, what it meant to be a trauma-informed institution. And we took a lot of training, got a core team together and started working on that from the school perspective and saw some pretty good changes. And I just came under this realization, and as a lot of people are lately, is that so many of the issues that especially unsheltered people or people who really struggle with poor health outcomes, this all starts with the injury of trauma in their childhood. And Shelley kind of has those experiences through her work in schools as well. And the three of us got together and just started making a plan about what would it be like to shelter people in a village type of setting where they were nurtured and care was directed towards healing that injury of trauma as it relates to being the core injury that starts people on this journey to homelessness. And if we really want to impact and change that course, we have to get to the core issue. So with that, we started laying out plans, and then it was at the Martin Luther King Jr. event that is hosted here every January. I was a speaker at that event. It was about poverty in the Motherlode, and I spoke about this idea of a tiny home village or of a healing village that addressed trauma in working with unsheltered people. And was really quite surprised by the response. The speech got a standing ovation in the packed auditorium, and then afterwards there were workshop rooms, and we had made a few flyers and expected maybe a couple people would come to a workshop and hear a little bit more, maybe want to be involved. And we had an overflow crowd in the room where we were assigned, and by the end of that we had nearly 100 people sign up to be potential volunteers, and were just overwhelmed by how it seems like the community said, we would like to support something that, you know, no one has come up with anything. There's been a lot of discussion about it, but if someone has a plan of action, we want to get behind that. And then we started to work towards making that vision, if you will, a reality. And the first thing that happened was we were awarded a contract with the county in the middle of the COVID pandemic to serve the most vulnerable unsheltered people and get them off the street, put them in hotel rooms. And we did that, and that morphed into, along the same time, looking around for property. We finally found this 40 acres that you mentioned up on Big Hill. September 1st of last year, we moved the first residents in, so we've been there just about a year with housing people. And it's been quite a learning journey, but it's coming to fruition, and our model is being recognized and talked about as being something that could be replicated in other places. And we're starting to make networks all across the country, and even have some people interested in visiting us from pretty far away because of the approach that we're taking to homelessness. So
that's great. And Shelley, as mentioned, you were there from the very beginning as well. Anything you'd like to add?
I would like to say that, you know, we, all three of us, you know, have a background in education. And so children have been our focus, really the majority of our adult lives working with kids. And, you know, I think that for all of us, the things that we saw, the trauma that we saw children going through, the things that we experienced as far as trying to help kids who were experiencing a difficult time, seeing how it affected them emotionally, physically, educationally during our years in the schools, really was part of the glue behind this whole thing when we started going into the camps and hearing those same stories, interestingly enough, from adults in the camps is really what struck us all and really kind of put our focus on the trauma piece of it, which makes us unique in what we do. And so we try to offer classes. There are some that have worked really well. We've had people come in and teach mindfulness and nonviolent communication and things like that that are really well received by our villagers. We had somebody come in and do some chair yoga for our folks that a few of them could do, some of them don't. We've got some folks with disabilities, but that worked really well. That was a fun project. And then we have someone coming in. It's been a little bit sporadic. She's kind of working as our folks are ready, but on financial, help me, Mark,
financial literacy.
Literacy.
Plan,
yes.
And budget.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of different things. And then, like Mark said, it's been a learning experience all the way. That's one thing that we actually appreciate and do well is be able to kind of, you know, if something's not working well, we can change our focus and go in a different directions. And sometimes, you know, it's harder than others, but we really are good at being flexible and, you know, taking a turn if we need to. And you know, one thing that we have done is learned that going small is better from the start because it's really given us a chance to not only get to know people, the people that we have, but other people on the outside, whether it's folks in the camps or different organizations, and really put our plan into place, into a solid place before we do anything further.
You know, a question for either one of you. You both mentioned the issue of trauma and how that's kind of something you focused in on. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and kind of how it connects with everything?
Sure. People might not be familiar at all with the ACEs study, and ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And in the early 90s, the Kaiser Permanente Health Group commissioned a study because Dr. Vincent Folletti, who was working on improving health outcomes, noticed that he would work with people on things like their diet and exercise to get them to a certain point to improve their health outcomes, but then there would always be a breakdown and they would go back to it, to their previous lifestyles and unhealthy habits. And when he started really doing in-depth interviews around that, he found out that a lot of times for people being overweight or having these other conditions were part of protective surrounding themselves with a form of protection because of the wound of trauma that, you know, like for instance, he gave a specific example of a woman who, when she thinned down, she would get attention at the office again, and she couldn't handle that because of a previous sexual assault. She had not resolved the injury of the trauma from that assault. So he really dove into this, interviewed, they did over 17,000 people in the Kaiser Permanente Health Group and found a direct correlation to the number of ACEs that you have. The more ACEs that you had as a child, the poorer your health outcomes. And so they ask people questions about things. Were you ever physically assaulted by an adult? Did you witness violence in your home? Were you sexually assaulted in your home? Did you live with someone who had mental illness in your home? Did you live with someone who went to prison? Did your parents divorce? Did you sometimes ever feel neglected? Anyways, they had 10 standard questions along those lines. And as you got to, say, 4 ACEs in your childhood, your risks of things like cancer and heart disease went up just astronomically. By the time you get to 6 ACEs or more in your life, your life expectancy is reduced by 20 years. And all kinds of outcomes, including being unable to have meaningful relationships that last, being unable to hold a job, being unable to have housing, this all correlates to these injuries that are unresolved. Because they don't show, they don't leave a scar on the outside mostly, but it's every bit as much of an intense brain injury as being hit in the head or something like that. So our approach to that is to look and see, okay, if that's the core issue that led you down this path to poverty and homelessness, how do we work to mitigate it? Because fortunately, the brain is elastic, and even in adulthood, these injuries can be healed to a point where you can go back to functioning and hold a job and have relationships and hopefully have a house and do the things that we all, you know, come to expect from ourselves.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking to a pair of leaders from Resiliency Village, a local nonprofit, on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined by Mark Dykin and Shelley Munoz. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll pick up on this conversation in just a minute.